This is from Isaiah 65. This is the voice of God. For I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives for but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered cursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and somebody else eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion eats straw like the ox. The serpent, its food shall be dust. But they shall no longer hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord your God. It's Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25, along with Psalm 98, the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want you to say a word with me real quick, if everybody can hear me. I want you to say a word. Say the word providence. So what is providence? Other than the capital of Rhode Island, what is providence? Well, providence is one of the most important Christian doctrines that we have. And a Christian doctrine is born because we've read scripture and we've read what the great theologians from the past said about certain topics, and we put together a sort of shared set of beliefs. So we have a doctrine, for example, that helps us understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have other doctrines like justification, like sanctification. We've got doctrines like Christology, which is what we believe about Jesus and how Jesus comes to help our lives, share our lives with us, save our lives even. We have lots of different doctrines, but the doctrine that Isaiah is about and that Psalm 98 is about today is providence. So here's how providence works. Providence is our understanding about how God provides the good, beautiful earth, the clean air that we breathe, the cool water, the mountains, the lakes, the prairies, the beaches, the plains, the miracles of our bodies that heal. I mean, most of us, if we get a small cut in a few days, it will heal itself. It's a miracle every time it happens. The wonder of genetics, of the fact that we have been given these bodies and inherited things from the people that helped us get here, and we pass them down to our children as well. The warm sun on your face, the tides that are controlled by the moon, all the animals of all the forests, of all the jungles, everywhere in the world. The crops, the trees, the glory of fruit that's ripening on the branch or ripening on the vine. Yes, all these things, that the roots grow down and the stalks grow up, all of that is because of God's goodness. God simply gave us this world around us. We cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. We cannot create more air. We cannot create more water. It's just been given to us. It's been provided because God was good. And even though we do nothing to deserve any of these things, God makes sure that we are given to them. That's providence. Make sense? Providence. That's what Isaiah and Psalm 98 are talking about. Here's what you need to know about Isaiah. Isaiah, we're near the end of the book. It's only got 66 chapters, and we were in chapter 65 today. And what's happened is that the Israelite people, in Jerusalem in particular, who had been exiled for generations, like the Babylonians came, squashed them, and then picked them up and moved them all away. They lost their homes. So that line in Isaiah where it says, no longer will they build a house and someone else is going to inhabit it. See, if somebody had taken your home, your grandparents' home, and God said that to you, you would know what God was talking about. You'd know about it instantly. So by the time Isaiah gets back to Jerusalem, by the time the people of Jerusalem are there, Something's got to change, which is why verse 1, the first verse I read today, verse 17 said, I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth, and all those formal things will not be remembered or come to mind. All those terrible things aren't going to happen again. That's providence. New heavens, new earth. Just so you know, it reminds us of what we read in Revelation. Many Bible nerd people like me think that Revelation 21 is actually based upon Isaiah 65, where in Revelation it says, behold, I make all things new. God is the God who will do new things. God is the God who will provide all things. God is the God who will not abandon us in our greatest hours of need. We need to know, of course, that God has created the world, this world, and called it good. God rights wrongs and brings peace to the earth. That's what Isaiah 65 is about. That's what it's trying to do, to get us to think about the future that only God can provide. God is God, and God is good, and God will provide for us every day. God is God of the past, the present, and the future, or as the book of Hebrews says it, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what do we learn about God and the doctrine of providence? Well, we learn that more than anything else, God is a giver. God gives life upon the earth what it needs to survive, and then God gives us hope for the life that is to come. Think about this. The most famous verse in the Bible is probably John 3:16. As you see it at football games and soccer games and all the things, right? So the verse says, for God so loved the world that God gave the only Son. Did you catch the two verbs in there? God loved and God gave. God is a giver. That's just what God does. Never forget that. God loves and God gives. And whether it's Psalm 98 that's praising God for that, or Isaiah 65 where God is making all things new, God is the giver of grace. God is the creator of life. God is the one who loves us. Just so you know, the first verse of the Bible harkens us back, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just did it. Just made it so that we could all enjoy it, so our lives could be thriving. God creates and God gives. And while we cannot create like God can, the Hebrew verb, bara, to create, only gets to be used with God. In the Hebrew Bible, people don't create anything. What we can do, though, is give, even though we can't create. John Calvin, one of the reformers and one of the founders of the Presbyterian movement, said that the whole of the Christian life was about grace and gratitude. Grace is what God does and what God gives. Gratitude is all about what we do in response to what God has given to us. And the best way that we can do gratitude, the most gratitude-like thing that we can do, is to be generous with our time, our talents, our gifts, and our prayers. I pray that you, and in the month today and in the months and years to come, will join me and my family to make a commitment to support our church. Just because God is a giver, Jesus is a giver, giving his life, teaching his wisdom to the world, we who desire to follow Jesus should be serious about our giving too. I don't give until it hurts. I myself try to give until it starts to feel good. And I try to remember that life is not, the purpose of these lives that God has providentially given to us is not to correct luxuries or memberships. Instead, it's supposed to be about helping others. That's really what our main focus is supposed to be on. And when we give to your church, when you give to this congregation, you are making sure that other people are being prayed for, other people are being visited when they are sick or they are alone, that others are having beautiful spaces for worship, baptisms, weddings, funerals, that we are feeding the hungry, helping give health care to the poor, partnering with others around our city to lend a helping hand to others so that they can transform their lives. Yeah, that's what happens around here. When you share your time and your talents and your finances with the church, those are the kind of things that happen. What we have in common, all of us here, just like you, I've got bills. I have bills to pay every month. All right? Guess how much joy I get into paying those bills. It's actually less than zero. It's no fun. Joy, though, comes to what I have to share. I joyfully give my gifts to the church. I joyfully give our gifts to Step Up. I joyfully give to other ministries around this city, the schools that I support. Because that brings me joy, and I hope it does the same. I hope it does the same for all of you. Now, I know that some of you grown-ups in here with me today are accountants, you're scientists, you're engineers, you're bankers, and you deal with facts, right? You deal with numbers. And so here's the fact. White Memorial needs, over the next couple months, about 500 to 600 more pledges. We do. We're about where we were last year at this time, but a little bit behind. If we're going to have a church that pays its custodians fairly for all the setups that they do and all the takedowns that they do, if we're going to be able to buy music for these wonderful children so that they can continue to sing, if we're going to make sure that people are visited in the hospital or receive the right training to become Stephen ministers, if we're going to have a youth fellowship where our young people meet three or more times per month and they grow in life and faith together. In fact, it's been so successful, youth fellowship, that my daughter, when she comes home for Christmas, is going on a trip, not with her friends from school, but with her friends from church. That's her first sort of big college trip, is with people from church. If we want to do all that, if we want to have grief groups, the sanctuary choir, the on-point band, Bible studies, community groups, partnerships, we've got to support the ministry. None of it happens on this beautiful campus without our help and our commitment. So if we want to live into God's future, it means that we've each of us got to do our part to take care of God's present. Long ago, Isaiah wrote to his people the words that God had spoken to him as a prophet. Remember, those people were desperate to hear something good, to get some good news. Today, the God who gives and the God who provides speaks through Isaiah and reminds us that we should believe in the future that only God can provide. For it is true that God is our help in ages past, but it's also true that God is our hope in years to come. Remember, friends, if nothing else from today, that God is a provider and that God is a giver and God is a generous. And here inside these walls and always outside the walls and the greater world around us, we are called to be generous people just the same. See, the future of what we are to become around here will be lived out in the combination of God's guidance and the choices that we make. For 80 years, that's been the case here. And I suspect it'll be true for the next 80 as well. I'll tell you today that being your pastor these last 14 and a half years has been the great vocational challenge and privilege of my life. And I pray that my leadership has been worthy of the stewardship and generosity you all have shared in the past and I hope will share in the future. Because you can see, Isaiah is not the only person that gets to imagine a future with God that is bright and hope-filled. We all can. We all can. All of us imagine that kind of future. And with all of us doing our parts, the future of this church and our ministry will be a wonderful one indeed. God bless you, friends. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Indeed, may the God of love and grace and joy and peace go with us every day and everywhere that we are. Hear now the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you and all whom you love would be safe and receive the gracious promises of a providential God today and always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and God bless you until we meet again. Amen.